Welcome to the 2019 Skagway Candidate Forum, hosted by KHNS and the Skagway News. My name's Henry Leisha.
And I'm Lee Armstrong. This year, there are three candidates running for two seats on the Borough Assembly. The mayor's term will be ending this October as well. He's running unopposed for re-election.
So during tonight's forum, each candidate will have 3 minutes to give an opening statement and answer a series of questions about municipal issues. Some of the questions were submitted by residents and others were written by local news staff. We ask that candidates try to limit their responses to 2 minutes. We'll be keeping time and letting you know when it's starting to run out.
All right, let's get started. We'll begin with Orion. AMHS.
Opening statement first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. My name's Orion Hansen. I'm completing the end of a 3-year term serving on the Skagway Assembly. Prior to that, I was chairman of planning and zoning for a year and a half, and I think I served about a year on planning and zoning before that. It's been a great honor and a challenge at times. It's a lot of work. I serve on quite a few committees, and I take it very seriously. There are a number of challenges that are not just, you know, boiled down to one issue that I think that the waterfront is an ongoing, it's a debate at the assembly table, and I'm very glad that we've signed an RFP resolution that we will have a clear direction of which way the assembly is going on that. And there are a number of capital projects that are really important for our infrastructure and for Skagway to maintain the systems we have and improve them so we can keep up with the summertime demand. And then I also think it's really important that we maintain our quality of life. I don't think that we can grow and grow and grow indefinitely. There's a saturation point at some point. I don't think there's a clear delineation of where that's at, but I do think we can grow, but we have to do it in a measured way. And some of our infrastructure needs have to catch up before we really can look at how we can embellish and grow, get bigger through our summer season. I've been very involved with some of the public works projects recently. As the chairman, I have a close communication with Tyson Ames. And I think those are things that my construction background helps me to communicate, not that I necessarily understand all the nuances of some of these capital projects, but I can speak the lingo on some levels because I do it day to day. I run a construction business, have since I moved back to Skagway. My parents met and married in Skagway in the 70s, and I'm honored to have my mother here tonight. And I moved back to Skagway in 2012. It was a big decision when I did that. I had a great job in Atlanta, Georgia, house, community that I knew well, but I think when you've lived in Skagway, you've lived in Alaska, it never really leaves you. And it was something that I yearned for, and the ability to come back and work with my dad was a great opportunity that I'm grateful I took. I'm currently building a house for myself out of pocket. I haven't taken a bank loan out other than what I owe the city, and I'm about halfway through that payment, which is encouraging. And I love this community. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Orion. Sam, you want to go next?
Hi, I'm Sam Bass. I'm currently a year-round resident of Skagway. For the last 10 years, I've been a part-time resident. Me and my wife, Tara, we own 2 year-round businesses here in town. I've got 2 children. I got a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, both in the school system here in Skagway. I'm currently on an interim member of the Skagway School Board. I'm a veteran. I just retired after 22 years in the Coast Guard. Most of that time was spent in Alaska. My last 2 tours were in Valdez and in Juneau. In Valdez, I supervised all the vessel traffic transits through Prince William Sound and into the port of Valdez. We especially focused on the oil tankers coming and going from the TAPS terminal there. Also during that time, I oversaw port operations and waterside port security for the TAPS terminal, the terminus there. Also at that time, I was a member of the Valdez Maritime Security Council. I was the chairperson of it, and also basically operated as the HR person for about 150 Coast Guard personnel that were stationed in Valdez. After that, transferred to Juneau. When I got to Juneau, I was in charge of all the search and rescue for Southeast Alaska, basically all Coast Guard, aeronautical, maritime, or inland search and rescue efforts. I supervised. We had the area from Dixon Entrance, Ketchikan, north to Yakutat, then about 50 miles offshore, including Skagway. We had a few rescues in the Skagway area, and we had quite a few medevacs that we did from Skagway. During that time, I was also in charge of about 13 communication high sites throughout Southeast that we use for search and rescue, including all the power supply systems and the generators that those systems needed. I was also part of the law enforcement operational team there in Juneau, and I also supervised all the vetting of, well, the environmental vetting and the security vetting of all the vessels coming into Southeast Alaska. I've got my bachelor's degree in emergency disaster management with a focus on homeland security. I just saw my kids. They kind of distracted me. Hi, kids. And I also have a training in ICS, the Incident Command System process that the federal government steps up whenever there's a major emergency. And I've got about 500 hours of HR training through the DOD and the DHS.
Thank you, Sam. All right, Dustin, you want to go?
My name is, microphones are not always my friend. My voice carries a little bit. My name is Dustin Stone. I've lived year-round in Skagway since March of 2012. My background is in journalism. I first came to Southeast Alaska after graduating from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in California with a degree in print journalism. I've held a number of different jobs since I first moved to town. I was your liquor store guy for a little bit. I drove a smart bus. For the last 5 years, I've been managing the bar at the Skagway Elks Lodge, and I just recently moved into a position working HR for the National Park Service. I first started attending public meetings in Skagway in 2009, my first winter, as a reporter for the Skagway News. Some of the policy stories that I've covered in my time with the paper include the Gateway Project, the original White Pass lease that was voted down, the West Creek Master Plan. And I feel that that experience with the newspaper has given me a pretty solid foundational understanding of a lot of the issues that the borough faces, as well as a good working knowledge of the assembly. I've been attending public meetings the majority of my adult life for that reason. As a public policy reporter in college and after college. And basically, when I first came to Skagway, I just absolutely fell in love with this town and wanted to do anything I could to participate in the community and be a positive impact. My job with the Elks, the schedule was a little erratic, to say the least, so I wasn't able to make a commitment to running for assembly, but now that I've moved into my new position, I have the time to do that. I also currently serve on the KH&S Board of Directors and have been doing that for somewhere between 4 and 5 years at this point. It's starting to get a little bit fuzzy, and I volunteer weekly hosting a radio show Saturdays from 10 to midnight. Thank you.
Thanks, Dustin. Andrew?
My name is Andrew Cremata. I'm currently the mayor. I have been for the last 6 months. I feel like I'm a known commodity at this point. Everybody knows what I'm about, hopefully. I'm a business owner here in this community, married, and I love Skagway. And I'm going to continue to do exactly what I've been doing for the last 6 months.
All right, let's move on to our first question. The Alaska Marine Highway System service to Skagway is being reduced this winter due to budget cuts. What can the municipality do to ensure that there is effective, reliable transportation to and from Skagway? Ryan, we'll begin with you again.
Thank you. The first thing we do is we lobby for increased ferry funding, or at least maintaining the ferry funding we have. I think our legislators did a good job of at least convincing the governor that eliminating ferries all in one fell swoop of his pen was not acceptable. As an assembly, we have commissioned a study, the McDowell study, to look into a Upperland Canal Ferry Authority. This, I think, is a Plan B action. Obviously, we would prefer that the ferry exists as it exists, but if the governor is successful in reducing and possibly dissolving the ferry, as he said, I think we have to do our homework and see if that business model can exist and can sustain, and we should have that study back fairly soon. I think we're kind of waiting to do it in conjunction with the governor's study that's supposed to be done on October 15th. You know, the road that was proposed and did not advance through the DOT, I think was a failed and very poor idea because it didn't really connect the road to anywhere but a mine. And as Skagway residences, we would have had to take a ferry to Haines, then take a ferry from Haines to Kensington, and then drive 50-some miles through uninhabited territory from a ferry terminal that didn't exist, and through 57 active avalanche and rock slide zones. So in terms of that being something that we should be advocate for, I thought that was not a good idea, not a feasible idea. So with the ferry is absolutely imperative for our way of life. I shudder to think of how the school system and the interactive extracurricular activities can function at all without the ferry, how we can get to medical appointments,
okay.
How we can
plan travel. We're going to have to cut you off there. Sorry. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sam?
I do. I think we have to lobby the government. We have to lobby and show them just how valuable Skagway is as a gateway, not just for us, but for all of Southeast Alaska. I mean, all those people in Juneau, they come to Skagway, they come to Haines, they use the ferries to actually get out of Juneau and to drive back down south. And as they cut ferry service to the south, it's going to be more and more imperative that those people have the option to drive out of Juneau and Gustavus and Hoonah. And the way to do that is to do it through Skagway. And I think if we lobby them hard enough to say, look, you need to keep the route to Skagway. We can sell it that way. And then we show just how valuable we are.
Thank you. Dustin?
I believe the most important thing the Assembly can do in this matter, and the most important thing all of us can do as Skagwegians, is to just remain tireless advocates of the ferry system. The ferry is so integral to our way of life in this community. There are points in the winter, as pretty much all of you know, where the only way in and out of town sometimes can be the ferry. And we rely on it for so many more reasons than that. So I think the most powerful tool we have at our disposal is our collective voice. If I'm elected to the Assembly, I promise to be that thorn in the side of legislators that make decisions regarding our ferry service. We can't always expect people who don't live in communities like ours to understand the importance of something like a ferry. So it's the impetus is on us to stay on top of them and remind them why we need this service and why it's important to take communities like ours into consideration when making decisions. There are other communities in Southeast Alaska don't have the luxury that we have of having a road, and they rely on those ferries even more than we do. So it's an issue that goes beyond Skagway. It's something that's important for all of Southeast Alaska. And again, I think we just need to continue advocating for the Alaska Marine Highway System.
Thank you. Andrew?
The ferry system, like a lot of other things in the state, is changing, and it's going to change whether we want it to or not. I was at Southeast Conference with Manager Ryan last week, and there was a lot of support for the ferries from Southeast communities, but DOT Chair McKinnon spoke, and it's very clear where they're headed. Dynamic pricing, 31% cuts to the ferry. We need to look within, which we are doing, as Orion said. We have the McDowell Group determining whether a ferry authority is a good idea for us or whether it's not. The next step is going to be to figure out whether or not it's financially possible for us to manage a ferry authority, run a boat, and have it still be affordable to go from point A to point B? Probably won't be. That's just an honest answer. So we do need to advocate for ferries. We need to stand up for Southeast Alaska, and that's why these conferences are so important. But at the same time, we also need to look within and say, what happens? What's our plan B? What's our plan C? We, Manager Ryan and I, talked to DOT Chair McKinnon. We talked to the Chief of Staff of the Governor's Office, Ben Stevens, and we pled our case about the need for ferry service. But we also recognize that there are times we need to make compromises as well because of the budgetary issues within the state. And what those compromises may be remain to be seen, but we are going to have to take a more proactive role, and there's going to be some growing pains as we go through this process. That's an honest answer. We need people on the Assembly and in the community who are willing to stand up and fight for the ferries, but also willing to compromise, because we're going to have to make some serious compromises in the coming years.
Thank you, Andrew. Let's move on to the next question. Recently, the Borough Assembly voted to put out an RFP in hopes of finding a partner to help manage the port. How do you envision a partnership with the municipality? What aspects of the port do you want to see? What aspects of the port would you like to see the municipality have more control over? And which aspects do you think the partners should handle? Let's start with Sam.
I think the port question is the biggest question we have. It's looming on the future. We've got 3 years until we have to make this decision. When it comes to the RFPs, I'm curious to see what they come back with. I would like to see what these different possible port partners come back and what they offer. I think one of the primary things they're going to want in return is primary berthing. And they're going to want to have that priority berthing for their vessels, for their ships, if it's a cruise ship partner that comes back with a response. And I think that's something we have to look at very carefully, because we don't want to become, we don't want to put all our eggs into one basket when it comes to providing moorages to different entities. So I think looking at all the different proposals is a very good idea. We need to see what they offer, but we need to make sure that whatever is offered is in the best interest of Skagway and the future of Skagway.
Thank you. Andrew?
There's no way you can answer this question in 2 minutes. However, what will an RFP look like? We don't know the answer to that question. We're just getting started in the process. We don't know what management of the port is going to look like. It's possible we could contract to partners to manage it. It's possible we could enter into a long-term deal with an entity or a group of entities. I do know that berthings are extremely important. The cruise ship companies want to be here. You look at the $20 million sale of land appraised at $4 million in Juneau just 2 weeks ago. You look at Ward Cove in Ketchikan. You look at what's happening in Hoonah. You see a major player there. That's NCL in all three of those scenarios. The cruise ship companies recognize that this port and all of the ports in Alaska is the most viable and profitable port destination in the world. You have Chinese markets about to explode. This is going to explode financially for the cruise ship companies in the coming years. In my opinion, if we're going to enter into an RFP with anyone, we need to have a solid deal with a huge financial investment in the community that we desperately need to build infrastructure that will support any kind of pier building that we do. We could build piers all day long. We could have 5 berths, 6 berths, 20 berths, 50 berths. It doesn't matter. If we only can support 4 berths and we have a saturation level at that point, then it doesn't matter. So we need an initial investment that will help us support growth. I think there's a lot of business owners in this town that would agree that they want to see more passengers coming off the cruise ships. They also want to see better passengers coming off the cruise ships. So when we craft an RFP, we need to be specific about how we craft it. We need to be specific about what the deal will look like and specific about what we're going to get in return as a community. And on top of that, we have to protect the fabric of this community.
Thank you. Dustin?
I believe that the RFP is a big step in the right direction. This is a unique opportunity for Skagway to have a greater say in what we do with our port. But I also believe that the city is going to benefit from finding a strategic partner in the port who can assist us with operations and infrastructure improvement projects. I would ideally love to see us just say we'd be able to do everything and run our own port by ourselves. But I don't necessarily feel like we've made it there as a municipality yet. What I think the RFP does is it adds more voices to the conversation, and it brings new perspective and ideas. The more proposals that we get back from the RFP just means that Skagway has that many more options of what we want to do with our waterfront. And I should add that I think promoting healthy competition in this situation is ultimately in the best interest of Skagway, and it's a solution that also doesn't necessarily preclude White Pass from coming forward with the best proposal. Again, I just think competition in this situation is good for Skagway.
Thank you. And Orion.
Thank you. I think we are in the driver's seat. That's a good position to be in. I supported finding a more lucrative deal with White Pass when I first came on the assembly. I did fear that there would be loss of revenue, loss of people coming to Skagway, and I think in the last two summers we've seen that it has grown. I think moving forward, we would like to see the municipality and the people of Skagway have more autonomy over how the port is operated, and I think that could be achieved through a port director or a similar position who is a municipal employee, having somewhat of an ultimate say if we don't like the way things are going. We have had some say with the last 50-some years, but we're in a position now where we can ask for more. We should get substantial increases in revenue. And with any partnership, first and foremost, is a substantial financial commitment, because it will be an expensive dock at the Ord Basin. The Broadway dock does have a life expectancy. And no matter what happens, it has to work in conjunction with White Pass, because they will own the railroad dock. I also think we should look at improving the small boat harbor. That's something that I think is a diversification of our economy that also does support tourism. And lastly, before any new construction is made at the ore dock, it is imperative that the remediation is conducted and cleaned up. We've got a meeting tomorrow night. That's the first step. And White Pass is putting forward a good effort, but it's going to have to work in conjunction with ADA, too.
Thank you, Orion.
All right.
Yeah. Good segue to our next question, actually, though. Skagway's harbor has been contaminated by decades of ore loading, and various stakeholders have been involved in planning the cleanup. Existing infrastructure would make it challenging to remove sediments directly beneath the ore dock. Can remediation be carried out without removing sediments directly beneath the ore dock? And we'll start with Dustin.
I think the short answer would be no. And I feel that the contamination of the ore basin, the responsibility for cleaning it up falls on the parties responsible for contaminating it.
Thank you. Orion.
No. You cannot remove the dredge, the materials from underneath the ship loader without compromising its structural integrity. So you can't dredge it up, clean it up without undermining the piers. So I think that's the crux of your question. Can you fix it all with the infrastructure in place? No, you cannot.
Andrew.
While you can't take care of 100% of the contaminant, specifically what's underneath the loader, which could represent as much as 50 to 55% of the overall contaminant in the harbor, what is happening currently, White Pass is taking steps to address what is accessible. And the reason the contamination under the loader is not accessible is because they have a sublease with ADA, and ADA has a client who is currently supposedly going to be running ore through the port. So, in my opinion, and we are headed in a direction where at least we can take a very valuable first step. White Pass is stepping up to the plate currently, and tomorrow night we're going to learn a lot more about this, and I think that we should support the cleanup effort as is. In fact, we don't have a choice, because if the ADEC approves this plan, which they do, and White Pass wants to continue, they are going to continue. But we as a community can weigh in on this process, so I encourage everybody to be there. And I do believe that by taking this first step, White Pass is taking responsibility for the entire 100% of the contamination under the harbor, and the rest of it can be addressed at a later date.
Thank you. Sam.
I don't know technically. I don't have the technical expertise to say whether or not you can move out that material without affecting the dock itself, but I think it's clear that the contamination of the port needs to be remediated. That needs to happen. And it does sound like that, Survey Point and Carnival and White Pass are starting to they've begun to take responsibility for doing that remediation. I think it's the job now of the city, of the assembly, to continue to push and make sure that they talk the talk. They just don't walk the walk, and that they continue moving forward to remediate that as best as they can. Maybe they can't get every ounce of it out of there, but as long as they can get it out of there where it's safe, where it's not a hazard to people and the environment, and DEC signs off on it, okay, but let's keep moving forward and make sure this happens and doesn't just fall to the wayside.
Thank you. Our next question, we're moving on to visitors here. What does sustainable growth look like in Skagway? Is there a limit to the amount of visitors that the town can handle? And we'll start with Andrew.
We can build piers all day long, but we need infrastructure to support the people that walk off of those piers. What that number is, I would think most people in this community, and I know it for a fact because we learned this during the sessions that Barb Scheinberg's doing for the 2030 Comprehensive Plan, the majority of the community feels like we've potentially reached a saturation point or have exceeded it. Well, that's because infrastructure is currently not capable of handling the amount of people coming off the boat with, I think sometime next week we reach our millionth passenger, sometime this week. We might have already done it, I'm not sure. We can build another berthing. We can sustain more boats, but we have to have a long-term plan in place where we are able to move those people through the community efficiently, where we're able to supply them with tours, green spaces, business experiences, whatever it is we need to get them off of the dock and filtered through the community. We also need enough restrooms. We need a solid waste plant that can process all of the solid waste, and we need a waste treatment facility that can process all of that. So the infrastructure needs, if they're capable of handling a surge of passengers, which is going to happen in Southeast Alaska, whether we want it to or not, then we're okay. We can handle the expected growth over the next 10 years. And that's what I would like to see. In fact, I see no reason why Skagway cannot be the number one port in Alaska. As long as we make the right deals here in the next couple of years, we can be poised to be in a position where we have pretty good prospects for the next 30 years. Important decisions need to be made.
Thank you, Andrew. Orion?
Well, I agree with the mayor. Our incinerator needs to be rebuilt from the rate of trash going through it. That's this last repair was 7 years ago, and we have to rebuild or replace the refractory. The composter facility will cut down on the amount of garbage, especially wet garbage, that takes more fuel to burn at the incinerator. Wastewater treatment plant is at times at capacity. We've commissioned a engineering study to see what we can do to increase the capacity of the wastewater treatment plant while maintaining our primary system designation. If we have to go to a secondary system, that's a whole new wastewater treatment plant, which will be very, very expensive. I think some of the changes we've made with parking has helped with pedestrian safety on Broadway, but at the expense of safety on State Street. I also do wonder what the experience is becoming. I hear some businesses are not making increased revenue with increased passengers, and whether those passengers are having a good experience or the people living here and working here are maybe at capacity. So I think we can expand, but it has to be measured. When the CLIA they put out their schedule, and every year it's going up by 10,000 or 1,000 people. We can't expand like that every year. I think that has to be very clear. I'm not putting a cap on it. I'm not going to say a number, but I do think there is a limit. It's a saturation point, and we may be there until we can catch up with our infrastructure.
Thank you. Dustin?
I believe we're already seeing some of the effects of the law of diminishing returns in this case. Speaking from personal experience, I can tell you when I drove for SmartBus, I would make more tips on a 6,000-passenger day than I would on a 10,000-passenger day. And that's because on a 10,000-passenger day, people were unhappy that they couldn't get into the restaurants that they wanted to eat in. They were unhappy at the size of the crowds they had to wade through on Broadway. They were unhappy with the crowds in the stores that they wanted to shop in. That being said, I understand that some degree of growth is sort of a foregone conclusion at this point. So there are things that we can do to mitigate that diminishing return that I believe we're seeing. And in that case, I agree with both the mayor and Assemblyman Hansen. Our infrastructure is the most important thing that we need to address. If we look at our town as the product, we need to refine our product. This goes everywhere from the incinerator and the wastewater treatment plant to our housing crisis. If we aren't able to figure out our housing shortage and find ways to provide affordable housing to the people who work here in the summertime and staff our businesses, business owners are not going to be able to effectively staff, and that is going to have a direct negative impact on our economy. So again, growth is sort of inevitable. I think we do need to figure out where enough is enough, but I believe we can prepare for what's coming by building up our infrastructure. It's an investment in our future.
Thank you. Sam?
I'd hate to turn away visitors. People from all over the world come here. They want to see Skagway. They want to see the natural beauty of Southeast Alaska. They want to come to Skagway and experience it. I'd hate to push them away and not allow them to have that experience. It's a major experience for a lot of people that come here. Now, on the other side of that coin, just recently there was the Juno lawsuit from the cruise ships that said you must spend these CP funds in certain ways, and perhaps you can't spend them in these tertiary mechanisms to help with the influx of people. Maybe you can't build more bathrooms. Maybe you can't work on your infrastructure because these monies are regulated to only these certain things. I think that's an issue. Now, there may become an issue where we do have to talk about caps, because if we're not going to be allowed to spend the money and we're not going to be allowed to engage with our port partners, which are the cruise ships, and receive funds from them to mitigate their impact on our community, then maybe we do have to talk about caps. But I think we're far away from that right now, and I don't want to turn away people.
Thank you. In what ways do you think the municipality can and should improve the quality of life for Skagway residents? Dustin, we'll start with you.
I think that the answer to this one is also going to be infrastructure. I think one of the biggest things affecting quality of life right now is the shortage of affordable housing. The average apartment that I've looked at in this town runs about $1,000 a month for a one bedroom. I know my first winter I paid close to $700 a month for a tiny studio. And the majority of people moving here to work in the summertime, and those who, like myself and my wife, who continue to stay after, it's really difficult to eke out a living and pay for housing. I'm lucky. My wife and I are provided housing through my wife's employers, but I understand that most people in this town don't have that benefit. Again, I think the infrastructure is the answer to this question as well.
Sam?
I think quality of life, I mean, again, it's kind of an elusive term, and it means something different to everyone. I know to me it means that I can work all summer and take the winters off. Maybe that's my quality of life. But I think that for Skagway itself, again, more revenue adds to our quality of life. Once we are able to tap into that extra revenue that comes from the dock changes, from the lease expirations, then we're able to improve that quality of life for people who are here year-round. We can talk about pools. We can talk about senior centers. We can use that revenue to make this the most exceptional small town in Southeast Alaska. It's there. We can do it. Once we leverage those funds, it can happen. And in the quality of life, we can make more land available. We can make more housing options available, because once that revenue is on the table and we can use it, we can. Quality of life in a lot of aspects can increase.
Orion?
Well, I'd like to highlight a few of the things that I think are great that the municipality does. We have an extremely low mill rate. We have a third quarter and sometimes fourth quarter sales tax holiday. And, you know, I'm able to keep my crew employed almost year round with, you know, some slow times, but those are things where I can go out every day and make a hard living and be the person that, you know, I want to be. And I think those are things that many of the business people in here have stayed here because there are great opportunities here. The quality of life in the wintertime is really fun. I really enjoy it. As a municipality, I mean, we have to keep up with the infrastructure. And we have to keep up the infrastructure to meet the summertime needs. But I think the housing issue is one that I've tried to tackle, and it's been a tough road. Moving out of Garden City and creating those lots for residential housing will help a great deal. We're waiting on land entitlement from the state that there will be some property in Dyea that opens up. And those are things where, you know, the people who do want to be here year-round, if they don't have an opportunity to buy in, sooner or later they'll be frustrated and they'll leave. And I think we all know people that's happened to. So those are things that the city is working hard to improve, but the lack of flat ground in Skagway isn't going to change. That is the land we live in. But I think we have a great town. And I think the municipality actually really does support its population quite well. We've got the number one school in the state several years in a row. And the municipality does support the school. The Elks, the Eagles do a lot of fundraisers for people when they're in need. And, you know, I think this is a great community and that the municipality tries to support that in every way they can.
And Andrew.
I met Governor Bill Sheffield before coming over here tonight. He said to me, right after we met, he goes, "How lucky are we to be able to live in Alaska?" So it made me think a little bit when you asked this question, because we are lucky to live in Alaska, and the reasons why is we enjoy a high quality of life. At risk, whenever we enter into relationships with large corporations, is that we may sacrifice that quality of life for a dollar, or we may sacrifice that quality of life because we compromise the fabric of our community and what makes it a community. We have two communities here. We have our seasonal community, which is rich and vibrant, and there's things to do every night if you want to do them. And we have our year-round quality of life, which may be going to a Yuletide concert or going on a hiking trail. I think it's essential that we preserve the recreational opportunities that we have on a year-round basis. So if we have places that we designate as important, we have the Tongass National Forest right over here, we have AB Trail over here, we have Seven Pastures, we preserve those places, and we fight to preserve them because they are under attack constantly, not just from corporations, but from government. And I intend to do that as mayor as much as possible. And as a municipality, Orion is 100% right. We do a lot of things very well to preserve our quality of life on a seasonal and year-round basis. I think rec center expansion is essential at this point. We have not been collecting the money that we should have been collecting over the last 51 years, and we've had to make some sacrifices as a year-round community as a result of it. That's about to change. We can take that money and we can do some of the things we need to ensure that people of all ages have access to recreational opportunities, whether it be outdoors, at a rec center, and any other number of possibilities.
Thank you, Andrew. For our next question, would you support a ban on vendors selling or providing one-use plastic water bottles, cutlery, straws, and styrofoam containers? Why or why not? Let's start with Sam.
I don't think I would support a ban of it. I think I would support the education of those businesses and let them know what the impact of those type of materials are in our community. And I think that most of the let the businesses make their own decision and decide whether or not that's something they want to be a part of. And I think a lot of them will choose to do just that, to ban those products. But I don't agree that we should force them to.
Thank you. Orion?
I think I agree with Sam. I wouldn't completely ban it, but I would take some examples of the grocery store that it's stopped putting out plastic bags. I think that was a really strong leadership. There will be certainly along this same line of thinking when the composter comes online, the restaurants are going to have to train their staff as to how they dispose of food garbage and food waste and things that are compostable, as well as all the rest of us when we go to throw away our trash. What do we do with it? Those are things that each and every one of us have to look at, and what we do with our own garbage and our own refuse. I see that we do need to be more cognizant and aware as individuals, not just businesses, of straws and just things that are we use one time and throw them away. But in terms of a ban of it, I don't know that if I'd go that extreme at the start. I think, you know, we need to look at individually what we consume and how we put it back out into the waste stream.
Thank you. Andrew?
Absolutely. If you don't look around over the last 5 years in Southeast Alaska and you look at glaciers crumbling and water that's typically been 40 to 45 degrees, suddenly 65 degrees, and turn a blind eye to the fact that there are major environmental changes going on locally and across the planet, government sometimes does have to take an active role in forcing change. If we don't take an active role and force change in regards to disposable products that you use once and throw in the garbage or that end up out in the Lynn Canal, then you are partially culpable for it. I absolutely support those kind of bans. You look at what happened at Fairway Market. That was a bummer. You know, I used those bags, and I was responsible as anybody else. I used them to put fish in when I go fishing. I used them for all sorts of things. Well, I've adapted to not having them pretty quickly. Probably adapt pretty quickly to not having a plastic fork or plastic straw. I don't like straws anyway. So absolutely, if we can make those kind of changes on a local level in a small town here in Alaska where we supposedly value our environment because we recognize its importance as a commodity, and that's why people come here, then what are we doing?
Thank you. Dustin?
I don't know if a ban is actually necessary. The way I see Skagway and our business community here is people, once properly educated and provided with alternatives, tend to make the right decision. The Fairway Market's a good example. And you can also look at the Bonanza. They stopped using plastic straws in their business as well. Nobody had to tell them to do it. There didn't need to be legislation forcing them to, which I think sort of doesn't necessarily engender goodwill between the local government and businesses. Again, I think if we provide business owners with viable alternatives and education in these alternatives, that most of them are going to make the right decision in the long run. And I think that's the right way to gradually phase these one-use products out of our municipality.
Thanks. Do you believe there is adequate business representation on the assembly? How do you propose to represent those who have invested in businesses in or out of the historic district? We'll start with Orion.
Good question. Being a private contractor, a small contractor, is a tough road. There are often times where, you know, the buck stops on my shoulders and I take a loss when I have to. hopefully I don't take too many losses or I won't stay in business. But, you know, I in terms of representation on the assembly, the mayor is a private business owner. Dan Henry owns the Fish Co. But I don't think that that necessarily means that the people who work for White Pass or work for Petro Marine or Dave Brenna has, you know, been a very successful businessman as well. So I think you do have a diversity of opinions up there. But I wouldn't say that, you know, just because you work for someone else doesn't mean you don't get it. You know, I think that actually, I think the assembly tries to be very fair across the board in most cases and not do one thing that excludes or makes it unjust for any one business owner. I would point to the increase in the trash at the landfill that has to be taken out in the containers over to Haynes. And we increased it by 4 times. That certainly wasn't something that benefited me. I mean, I'm one of the people who has to take construction debris to those trash cans that go over to Haynes. But because there's one contractor who has been unable to throw his trash out because he generates so much of it, he's been taking it out with a tractor trailer. And he said, this is not fair. If you subsidize it any further, you got to do it equally. And that wasn't something that made me many friends, but I think we try to represent equally.
Thank you. Andrew.
I think there is support amongst all the assembly members for local business. We want business here. We want more business here. We want them to be successful. And things will not happen in a vacuum. So if a business owner feels as though things aren't being accomplished on a municipal level, then you need to have a voice here in these chambers or at a committee meeting or by letter or come see me in the mayor's office or whatever it takes to have your voice heard. I think there's been some efforts recently with business owners on Broadway to try and develop a more unified voice, and I think there's a lot of value in that, and perhaps something effective can come out of it. That being said, anyone who's a business owner knows that you have to also be willing to make changes and upgrades to your business. You have to constantly evolve with the market. We've seen some pretty dramatic changes here in Skagway in the way the trains run, in the number of passengers that come, some days in the quality of passengers that come. So if you're a business owner and you're not utilizing the tools at your disposal, your cell phone, social media, opportunities for marketing, that has to fall on you. So while the municipality is here to help business succeed, and we want more of them, we want tourists to have a positive experience, we want locals to have a place to shop, business owners also need to look within as well. I think there's a symbiotic relationship there that can occur, and I'm eager to open the council chambers up to anyone that has any ideas to make it better.
Thank you. Sam.
I think there is. I mean, there's adequate representation of business owners on the assembly, but I think what we really need is better engagement with the assembly to the business community. I think we've seen that recently with some recent business meetings where the business community feels like it's not getting that engagement with the assembly. And I think a great conduit for that is the Chamber of Commerce. That's what it's there for. That's what it's proposed to be. If we can strengthen that, if the assembly can reach down to the chamber and ask them to engage more effectively with the business community, I think that would be a great thing for us to do. I think the chamber could help increase Skagway's online internet presence. I would love to see the chamber kind of spearhead that effort and increase our presence. We've heard that Skagway doesn't have the best online internet presence. Maybe the chamber can help us with that. That's just one option. We just need to strengthen that engagement.
And Dustin.
I don't think it's necessary to be a business owner to have the best interest of business owners in this town in mind. And I say that as somebody who is hopefully on the path to becoming a small business owner here in town in the near future. The members of this body are elected to represent the people of this town and that's everybody, business owners and non. I think if you feel that the assembly is not representing your best interests, the most powerful thing you can do, again, is use your voice. I've been to meetings here in the winter where the only public present is myself and Mavis and Chief Ray. It's surprising when you come out to these meetings how few people take advantage of using their voice and using this body the way it was intended. Personally, I would like to see more community involvement in these things. If I'm elected, I promise to sit and listen to anything and everything any of you want to tell me. Your representatives are here to represent you, and for them to be able to effectively do their jobs, there needs to be an open and clear line of communication between the electorate and elected officials.
Thank you, Dustin. We received several questions that were similar to this next question. Juneau recently received bids for a 4-acre parcel of land that were 4 times as much as the appraisal done by Horan and Company. Given that huge disparity, do you think that the Assembly made a mistake giving Horan a chance to adjust their appraisal of our waterfront rather than going with the appraisal done by Integra Realty Resources? Dustin?
That is a really complicated question, and I'm not sure I know enough to answer it. I'm going to be honest.
Thank you. Orion?
The municipality will get substantially more by leaps and bounds and exponentially more in a new lease or a business partnership, whatever it is in the future. I did not vote for accepting the Integra appraisal because we were under contract. And I guess I feel, as somebody who fulfills contracts, that just because you don't like how it looks at the end, that you can just take the carpet out and reshuffle the cards. I think you have to honor where we're at. $127,000 a year for 68 acres of, you know, tidelands is a laughable sum. I'd be the first to say that. However, I also think the ramifications of what could have happened had we taken the Integra appraisal. First, it would have gone right to a lawsuit. And second, White Pass may have elected to raise their rates to all of their tenants, which would have affected the price of bread, the price of gas, and maybe put some of the businesses out of business that are on the waterfront. So I did not vote for that because I did not think it was the proper way to do business when you're making contracts with other entities. And I know it may sound a little bit hypocritical to say that we should get more money and why didn't we go for it, but we're talking 3.5 years at this point at the end of a 55-year lease. So that's where my vote came from.
Thank you. Sam?
I think the purchase in Juneau shows just how valuable, Southeast Alaska is to the cruise industries. And it shows even more how valuable Skagway berthing area is to the cruise ships. Paying $20 million for something that's worth $4 million really shows that these companies are investing heavily into Southeast Alaska. Even Survey Point and Carnival Corp's purchase of White Pass shows how strongly they're investing in Southeast Alaska. The deal that Norwegian just made with Huna down here, now they have primary berthing at their docks, but again, it shows that these cruise ships are investing heavily in Southeast Alaska. So there is a huge amount of value there. And we look at our docks, we look at $126,000 for the year. That's well undervalued. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anybody argues that that's way undervalued. Now, when it comes to the Integra appraisal, there are places in the lease that allows for the lease amount to be adjusted. You know, during some certain amount of years, it can be adjusted. Now, I think the issue came down that Orion's talking about, it came down to legal ease of who can do the appraisal and who can't. I don't know the right answer to that legal question on who can do the appraisal or who cannot. I do know that the Integra appraisal, the higher appraisal, seem much more rational for what that land is valued at. The other appraisals seem much lower than what it should be. Integra seem more correct.
Thank you. Andrew.
It's ironic that this question came directly after the one as pertaining to how the assembly supports local business. If you're a local business owner, how would you feel about an 800% increase in your rent or your property tax? Because that's what it was. It's an 800% increase. After 51 years of doing business in a certain way, it's completely changing it. There are things I can't talk about because they were said under legal confidence with the municipal attorney. That being said, we do recognize that $127,000 a year is woefully short. What I asked the Assembly to do was to allow the manager and I to sit down with White Pass and hammer out a deal that was acceptable to both entities. White Pass, like it or not, is a business in this community that employs more people than any other business. Why would we want to jeopardize a positive relationship with White Pass over an issue that can be solved by sitting down at a table and hammering out some details? I'm still hopeful that we can reach that conclusion. The Horan appraisal is not an end game. It's merely the next step in a process that has been complicated and, quite frankly, convoluted. There are people at the assembly table who voted to engage Integra a second time, and then when they gave the appraisal, voted against it. Those are the assembly members that everyone in the community should ask questions to as to why they voted to accept something and then deny it. But we are on the right track with this issue. It's taking longer than it should, but this was the right step. It's the one the assembly chose, and I fully support it. Hopefully it ends up with us sitting at a table and hammering out some details, though.
All right. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for questions this evening, but I wanted to thank all the candidates for their participation in this forum, and thank you to all the residents who submitted questions. We had some amazing questions. So this forum was recorded and will be available online at khns.org. If you didn't catch all of it, check it out there. Election Day is October 1st. Get out and vote. Thanks.